Well, on our CEO Spotlight this morning, sponsored by Allstate, our first CEO Spotlight, Jim Alvarez of a company called Gesture is profiled, and he's with us this morning. Jim, I'm curious, as a CEO, what it is that makes you tick? What is it that makes you, as a CEO, get up and get going every day?
Yeah, so for me, I have a couple of businesses that I'm a part of and spend a lot of time on, but my main business is called Gesture, and for that, we help charities raise money. And so nothing gets you out of bed faster than being able to help charities raise money. The other cool part is that we do have 55 full-time employees. I started in my basement, and seeing that as our company grows and get to that point where we have that many employees, it's really cool to see them develop and see them get better and just have that help them grow as a person.
For our listeners who may not be familiar with Gesture, give us a sense of what it is that your company does.
Okay, cool. So I started in February of 2011. In my basement, just like most tech startups do.
Garages and basements, right?
Exactly. Started with the name Auctions by Cellular, and that's exactly what we do. So if you've ever been to a charity event with a silent auction, instead of writing your name down on a piece of paper, we have the technology that allows you to do it on your mobile phone. The other cool thing that we do is we send a team of people to help administer the registration for the charities. We help with the bidding process, and then most importantly, we help with the checkout process. And so in the past 5 years, we've helped charities raise over $300 million. And we do this all through our technology and our team.
You're keeping track, $300 million. That's an important thing for you, though.
We're going
right?
for a billion.
A billion?
Yes.
Do you have a timetable set up?
We think we can achieve it in the next 3 years.
What sorts of charities do you like to pick, or does it just anybody who asks you for help?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because we help all kinds of charities. So we do all the work for the Chicago Cubs, the Blackhawks, LA Kings, University of Notre Dame, hospitals like Rush Hospital, and then we do so many small the core of our business is the smaller organizations, like smaller schools, smaller nonprofits that are local that you've never heard of before. That's the core of our business. But, you know, we do help major, you know, national nonprofits like American Heart Association, Ronald McDonald House Charities, and Make-A-Wish Foundations and stuff like that.
So take us back to the beginning when you went to your basement and you thought, I'm going to create this idea. Where did you get the idea? What made you think of the idea? Did somebody put this into your head?
Yeah, so I've been going to charity events for a long time, and I always knew there had to be a better way. The concept of just going up, writing your name down on a piece of paper, leaving, not recognizing when you've been outbid, I always knew there had to be a better way. And then the worst part is, with paper and pen, is that you have no idea if you won or lost. So at the end of the night, you're waiting in this line to see if you won or lost. And then maybe you did win, maybe you didn't win. And either way, it's not a good experience for the donor. And so I had some buddies that had this technology that was text-based bidding. And they invited me to come to an event and see what they do. And so I saw it, and right away it just clicked, like, this is a much better way to do it. And so I asked them what their thoughts were, and their thoughts were to try and sell this technology directly to nonprofits. And my background from a previous life is in building teams. And we could talk about that later. It's kind of an interesting background. But that's what I'm good at, is building teams. I'm not a not a technology person. I didn't come from the nonprofit world. But I knew that just having nonprofits buy this technology was going to be too hard. And so I said, let me set up teams, and we'll run around the nation, and we'll help implement the technology and help the charities. And I remember talking to a few people back in the day, and they said, that's a really stinky idea. There's just too many human beings involved. And I said, well, that's what my specialty is building teams. And so, just to give you an idea, Steve, is last weekend we had over 500 shifts in the field, from California to New York. And so managing, making sure that 500 people showed up on time with the right equipment, that's our competitive advantage.
It's interesting that you say that you don't have the background in technology and charity. And successful CEOs, successful companies generally have this sort of same recipe, is that there's one person who knows this, they bring in the other people who know that, and they form and make this perfect thing.
Yep.
How hard is that to do? How hard is it to find those people to get your vision together to where it's at?
Again, that would be one of the things that I would give myself a pat on the back for, is being able to identify and find these people, and then also get them to believe in what we're trying to do. I'll give you a good story, is that in 2012, when I decided to build my own technology, I only knew one developer, Richie, and I'd known him from playing poker. And so I called him and I said, Richie, I need to talk to you. And he said to me, he said, okay, I'll meet with you. And he thought my email got hacked or I couldn't hook up my printer to my, you know, network. And so I sat him down and I said, I need you to help me build a mobile bidding platform. And he said, well, okay. And so Richie went to University of Michigan, you know, super smart whiz kid. The first job that he had out of school was the same job that he currently had, which was 15 years later. At the time, he had a wife and two kids. Now he just had his third kid. But I asked him to quit his job, and I couldn't pay him. But we were going to build this mobile bidding platform, and we were going to help charities raise a whole bunch of money. And so, you know, getting him to believe what we were doing, and at that point, we were already about a year old, and so we had some traction. It wasn't like day one. But he saw what we were doing and believed in what we were doing and literally quit his job and started building our platform.
And that's the magic I don't understand about CEOs, is that they come to you with these ideas and you convince people to work for free. How do you do that?
Well, I gave him a nice piece of the company, okay, and I said, don't worry, someday we're going to be able to make some money. And luckily, you know, it took us a little while, maybe a little longer than I had told him, but here we are now, you know, 4 years later, and we do make money and we do get paid appropriately, and we have a really good company now.
And you bring up poker because the poker face is a good tell, I guess, is the poker term, right? If you're trying to bring me on board and I see in your face that, wait a second. How important is it to have that personal connection and also know what you're talking about, be honest, ethical? People can tell when you're not, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And that's who I am in general. So I tell people when we screw up, I'm the first one to admit, hey, we screwed up. Let's own it. Let's fix it. And let's make it right. And all of those things, honest and ethical and being just a true team player is what's key.
And team player is another part of this, too. It's if you don't have that ability to bring a team together, you're going to fail, right?
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about that. I'll tell you another quick story is that in a previous life, I had a company where we sort of took our eye off the ball of sales, and I vouched I would never do that again. So when I started Gesture, we literally just sold. And we could never afford to hire someone to help us manage our operations aspect of it. So another, you know, proud thing is that we've never raised the Series A, so we've never gone out to you know, formal institutional money to you know, so we never had like a whole bunch of money to be able to do all the things we wanted to do. We bootstrapped it, and as we've got some money in, we hired some more people, and got some more money, we hired some more people. So the funny story is, in 2013 was when the first time we were able to hire a VP of operations, and when Steve Grenius came on board, he said, okay, so how many events do we have? This was in January. He said, how many events do we have the first week in March? And he asked the operations team, and they looked and said, we have no idea. We just know it's a lot. And he knew right then and there that he was in trouble. But what happened was, is he came in and he realized that we were a sales organization. That's all we did. And he was able to come in, put in the processes necessary to make sure that we can handle 100 events in a week.
People, when they hear that you work with charities, might say, well, are you making any money doing that? Because charities obviously want to keep as much money as they can for their charitable purposes. How do you make money?
So we charge a flat fee. So we never take a percentage of how much more they raise. We have stories. In fact, we got a testimonial letter from St. Louis yesterday that they literally quadrupled how much they were hoping to raise. So if you can imagine, if they're trying to raise $20,000 and we quadruple that and they raise $80,000 and we took a percentage, that would be a lot of money that we would make. So we don't do that. We charge a flat fee. And that's negotiated up front, and that depends on the complexity of the event. And so what that means is that just because they're going to raise maybe $3 million, like a big Ronald McDonald event, doesn't mean that it's very complex. What makes it complex is how many people are coming to the event, how many items they're having, are they doing just a paddle raise, is there a lot of moving parts. That makes it more complex, and that forces us to send more people to make sure that everything runs smoothly. And so it doesn't matter for us if you raise $10,000 or $10 million, it's the fee is going to be the fee, and it's a reasonable fee.
It sounds like you are very involved with the day-to-day operations of this company. Is that important for a CEO to do, or is it better for a CEO to back off and let their people work? Because it's a question we often see is, well, is a helicopter hurting or helping a business? Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a great senior leadership team. And so, you know, Richie, who I mentioned earlier, is our CTO. Steve, who I mentioned earlier, is our senior vice president of sales and operations. And then we just actually had our first person that handles our product for us, Ryan. And so I am involved. I understand what's going on. But I'll be the first one to say that I am not technical. So Richie does his thing. I am a salesperson, so I'm actually pretty good at that. But when it comes to operations and stuff, I leave Steve to that. And then in terms of what we're going to build next, I'll also be the first one to say that I'm not smart enough to figure out what we should build next. So that's what Ryan's job is, to analyze all the data, figure out where we can have the most impact, and figure out what we're going to build next.
So you know what my next question is going to be, right? Is what are you going to build next?
Well, we have about 1,100 ideas of what we can build next. We have our roadmap built until 2020. So now the only thing we need to do is hire more developers.
And you're helping daily these charities raise money. I mean, little kids with cancer, you name it. I mean, the people that are in need, you're helping.
Yeah, there's always an auction that's in flight for us right now. And so, yeah, it's, you know, the events usually take place on Fridays and Saturdays, although I think today we have six. It just all depends.
What is it like being in the Chicago atmosphere? Is there a positive or negative to your company? Is it something you would recommend to others who are starting companies?
Oh yeah, I really enjoy working in Chicago, and I think that we do have a good foundation for great people. And anytime you build a company, I don't care what it is, you need to have great people. And I think that definitely happens here in the city.
A lot of ideas, too. It seems there's a lot of innovators that are coming up with these ideas in their basements and garages and bringing them to fruition.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what it seems like, which is cool.
Yeah.
I love it.
What advice would you give those people? I mean, if somebody has a great idea and they're thinking, I want to do what Jim did, but I don't know how to get to that point, what is your recommendation for them?
First one is there's going to be dream stealers out there. Mm-hmm. These are people that tell you you can't do it, it'll never work, it's too hard. You have to, you know, sort of understand what they're saying, you know, but definitely don't take it to heart. It is hard, no doubt, but hard work, dedication, you know, anything is possible.
And the passion is important too. It seems even this far after you've created it, I sensed from you the passion for what you do.
You have to believe in what you're doing. And like I mentioned earlier, helping charities gives you that passion, because when you see the causes that they support, that's what gets you out of bed. Now, if you're selling something else, I have another business, which is a haunted house. Scaring people, you know, maybe doesn't give you that jump in the step in the morning to get out of bed, but, you know, but having a goal of becoming the number one haunted house and working towards that goal, you know, that's what our passion is over there, is really putting on a good show and becoming number one. And so, you know, it depends on what industry you're in or what you're selling. But, you know, we're very fortunate with Gesture that our core is helping charities. And that just, you know, I mean, we have people working at 11 o'clock at night and people working at 6 o'clock in the morning. And no one's ever told them to do that, but they understand that it's the people on the other end that need the help, and that's what's important.
There's, as I get to know more and more of the innovators and startup community leaders, I'm finding that there seems to be a lot of time spent thinking of names for stuff, because there's a lot of cool names for businesses that are already taken. How did you come up with a Gesture? And again, yes, what advice would you give people when it comes to that roadblock with the name?
That's another good question. Is, you know, most entrepreneurs, when they start, they just want to get going. They just want to start selling their widget and see if the people like it and go from there. And they don't spend the necessary time on brand. And, you know, when I was in school, they told you that there was three things that were important: location, location, location. And I believe that that is changing. And now it's becoming more branding, branding, branding. And so I was guilty of that. I started. The name Auctions by Cellular seemed really cool, because that's exactly what we did. And then after 3 years of heads down selling, I popped up and I said, wow, this is a really terrible name. It's really functional, because it tells exactly what we did. Mm-hmm. And at the time, not many people were doing what we did, so it was good. But then, you know, whenever you had to meet somebody and say, hey, my email address is jim@auctionsbycellular, first of all, the word cellular is just a dead word in general. And so after 3 years, I picked my head up and I said, we need to change this. And so my senior leadership team and I sat in a room and we came up with some names, and it was terrible. It was the worst names you've ever heard of. And so at that point, I was fortunate that another buddy of mine, Jeff Cantalupo, he started a company here called Listen. And I engaged him and I said, I need your help. And so we went in, and this is a good story for all the entrepreneurs out there. But we went into his office, and I thought, you know, we were going to tell him what we do. And he was going to say, okay, you know, 10 minutes later, here's your name. But we sat there for hours. And then he went through the process of interviewing most of my employees at the time, a lot of our charity partners, and it took 8 months for us to land on the name Gesture. So it was not an easy process, but I think he knocked it out of the park. And you know, looking back now, there's no doubt that was the right name for us. And now looking at the future, as we start to build more products other than just auctions, Gesture really puts us in a good spot.
It puts you in an amazing spot, because Gesture, if you think of it, most people do the gestures on their smartphone.
Yep.
So it opens up a whole bunch of possibilities. I'm going to ask you again, can you give us a hint about what might be coming down the road?
Just more products that help nonprofits. You know, as we start to work more and more with them, we realize that there's additional products that they have, just how they manage their data, additional fundraising ideas. And so for us, it's really cool because we help them in probably the most painful part of fundraising, which is events, and specifically the auction portion of it. So we take that totally off their plate, and this gives them the ability at the event to be able to actually speak to some of their donors. This helps them raise more money. And probably the single most important thing it does, it gives the donors a better experience. So as we continue to perfect that, imagine the other products that we come out with that are going to help them. That's what's exciting.
The consumers of today are very, very selective about who they like. And one of the things that they like about companies are companies that are involved with their communities, that give back to their communities, that have some sort of vested interest in making their communities better. Yours does that just by what it does, but there's a lot of companies that don't do that. I mean, how would you first react to that, and then how would you change that, or what's advice would you give?
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of opportunities to give back. And we also, I mean, not only do we help charities raise a whole bunch of money, but we also donate some of our time. We cook dinners at Ronald McDonald houses. We've also helped package food to send overseas for poor people. So there's many opportunities that you can find as a company, whether you're – doesn't matter what your industry you're in, that you can give back. And probably the single most important thing that you can give back is your time, right? So we bring our employees, 20, 30 of us out, and help, you know, whether it's make dinner for local Ronald McDonald houses or, you know, help do whatever is out there. That's really cool.
As you make a business plan for the future, is that, along with the name and the people involved, is that one of the things that should be in your top five plan?
Giving back like
yes,
that. Yeah. Absolutely. And it goes with the type of people that you hire, you know, and I think that's important too, is that the people that we have, they make money, they get a paycheck, which is important, but they also understand our culture and what we're about, and that, I think, is what the key is. And so when we say to somebody, hey, we need you to stay late on a Friday night, or hey, we need you to come in on a Saturday because we're going to go make a whole bunch of boxes of food for people, they don't even think about it. They just do it.
I think Gesture is a great thing because if you've ever been to one of these auctions, sometimes they're cutthroat. And you know, back in the paper days, you'd sign up for something and go back and see somebody had scratched your name out. Here it's kind of impossible to do that.
Schools have a lot of stories where we go in there and we tell them about our technology and they say, oh my gosh, these parents got into a squabble over it. And in fact, the one parent, he didn't even want the item, but he didn't like the parent. So he was just bidding on it just to mess with the parent. And so we eliminate all of that and just take it. And not only do we eliminate that friction, but we make it very easy to bid. So the other thing is that once you make a bid, the second you get outbid, we text message you saying, hey, you got outbid, you need to bid again. And this is what really helps the charities raise a lot more money.
Well, it's good talking with you. Good to meet you, and best of luck going forward.
Thank you so much.